tape is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California 95024. I would like to entitle this study, Generations. Because when we get into the prophecies concerning the end time, there are always quite a few things that take place, quite a few things that are mentioned. And in understanding the prophecies of Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, and then on into Revelation, why is it that we have missed the boat? And what is it that Jesus is really talking about? Now let's go to Matthew 24. And as we're going there, let's understand that certain of these prophecies were nearly fulfilled when Judah and Jerusalem were destroyed. And that generation that Jesus and the apostles preached to, that generation did not pass away till everything against Jerusalem and Judah was accomplished. Matthew 24. And let's pick it up in verse 33. So likewise, when you see all, now we're going to key in on that word all these things. You have to see all of them. Know that it is near, even at the very doors. Verily I say unto you, till this generation, verily I say to you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now, what I want to do is look at another prophecy that was applied on the day of Pentecost. And Peter gave this prophecy and quoted from the book of Joel. So let's go to Acts, the second chapter, and let's read it. But there were certain prophecies that took place that were fulfilled up to a certain point, which applied directly to the generation in which Jerusalem and Judah were destroyed. Now we're going to see a repeat of some of these things. We're going to see a repeat getting into the situation where that when we come to the book of Revelation, we're going to see that there is the greater Babylon, the whole world. Okay. Now let's read it here. Acts 2 and verse 16. And so when Peter stood up, he said, verse 16, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now notice the connection that he makes. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which he did, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. So he connected this to the things that occurred during Jesus' ministry. Now let's ask a couple of questions. What happened the day that Jesus died? Darkness. Earthquake, cloud cover, darkness and gloominess. Okay? So there is a partial fulfillment of this for the day of Pentecost, but there's also another fulfillment at the end. Now, with that in mind, let's go back to Matthew, the 24th chapter, and let's see where we can pick out some of the complete fulfillments for that time and partial fulfillments for our time. In other words, the complete fulfillments for their time, and then the partial fulfillments for their time, and the complete fulfillments for our time as we come down to our age, the end of this age and this generation. Matthew 24, and let's pick it up here in verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Now don't you see all these things? Verily I say to you, there shall not be here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, question, has every stone been thrown down? Yes, every stone of the temple was thrown down, but not the stones of the foundation around it. So the partial fulfillment in that first generation was when the temple was destroyed. Now, when Titus came in, Titus did not want to destroy the temple, but some of the zealots set it on fire, and it was destroyed. Now, another very interesting thing about the destruction of the temple. Do you remember when the first temple was destroyed? You remember the date? 9th and 10th of Ab. Okay. When the second temple was destroyed, it was also the 9th and 10th of Ab. Now, another thing that's also important is that in every synagogue where the Jews are, when they assemble on the 9th and 10th of Ab, guess what they read? They read the Lamentations of Jeremiah. The Lamentations of Jeremiah describes the destruction of Jerusalem and Judah. And it is bloody, and it is awful, and it is really a very profound book. So we had that partial fulfillment when they destroyed the temple. Now let's continue on here, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" The world here means the end of the age. Now, we have traditionally understood that the next five major things that take place have to do with the seals of Revelation 6. However, let's not connect them with the seals of Revelation 6, and I'll show you why. These help us understand the seals, but the first seal has not been opened all that time. And we're just waiting for the one seal now to take place, which then is the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Because there is a partial fulfillment, and then there is a complete fulfillment. So he said, verse 4, he said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." It's the first warning that comes out. First warning, take heed that no one deceive you. Very first warning. And yet that's happening, isn't it? "Many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and shall deceive many." That's precisely what is happening. It happened back then. And it happened in a very different way than it's happening today. It happened that there were a lot of Jews who had seen Jesus. There were a lot of Pharisees who accepted certain parts of the gospel, who went out and they were teaching their own version of it. Today we're confronted with a different thing. We have many false prophets, many denominations. All I have to do is just open the phone book. I mean, it'd be shocking, wouldn't it? Open the phone book and look at all the churches. Okay? And then here we are. You shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And how many wars and rumors of wars have there been from that time to this? Unreal. I know at Ambassador College we had the Langer's Encyclopedia of World History. Did you ever get that? Anybody ever have that? It's about 3 inches thick, and it just takes each year all the way through, and it's one war after another war after another war after another war all the way through. So what do we have today? Wars, slaughters, killing. And then just this week we had the O.J. Simpson episode. That was bizarre. That was really bizarre. Verse 7, nation shall rise against nation. And this is ethnos, or race against race. Do we have that today? Did they have it then? Yes, indeed. Kingdom against kingdom, there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in different places. All very self-explanatory, and we're having quite a few earthquakes, aren't we? Here we are in Southern California. These things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Now, did this happen? Yes. Is it happening today, right now? In some places, it is. I think a foretaste of that is Weaver and the Branch Davidians. Now, we can say, oh, they were kooks and they deserved it. But then, on the other hand, once you give the government the license to do it, then you're in trouble. Okay. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, let me ask you a question. If you seek to please the world with your doctrine, are you being hated? If the world hates you, what are they going to call you? They're going to call you a cult, whether you like it or not, whether you are one or not. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And that happened. All we can put in there is just Saul. What did he do? He got the orders from the high priest, ran around, arrested, threw him in jail, made sure that they were killed, and so forth. That happened. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. That has always happened. When you come to that certain point, have you experienced that within a congregation you have attended? That because of the allowance of sin, the love of many grows cold? Have you been there that you've been afraid to talk to people? You didn't know who you could trust? Okay. Is it that way in the world? Yes, it is. How many people would you stop and pick up because they were hitchhiking because they really needed help? Well, you can't, because the cast on his leg or arm may be a fake one and he will kill you. The love of many is growing cold and more cold and more cold and more cold. Okay? That's because there's more and more iniquity. Now, notice verse 13. Here we come into a projection to the end. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, we have two endings. The ending of Jerusalem and Judah, and the ending of the world. So that's a double application. There's another ending that you also must endure to if you don't come to the end of the age. And what is that? We discussed that, didn't we? The end of your life. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Have we seen that misinterpreted? Misapplied? Now, what does this verse tell us? It says the gospel is going to be preached as a witness to all nations, then shall the end come. Does it tell us how much of a witness it is? Does it tell us how profound it is? Does it tell us who does it? No. That's a wide open verse, isn't it? They're going to be preached to all nations. Why? Because at the end, all nations are involved. Now, the Apostle Paul said in Romans 10, Romans the 10th chapter, that verily the gospel was preached unto the ends of the earth. So they had quite an outreach at that time. Yes, they did. Quite an outreach at that. How far it went? Went to all the known civilized world. But he says here, all nations, and then shall the end come. Now here comes verse 15, which is a very profound verse. When therefore you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. And then we've got this little parenthetical phrase there. Whoso reads, let him understand. Now, whenever you see that there, that tells us that it takes a lot of God's Spirit and a lot of understanding to understand it. And every place that it's difficult to understand, you have a phrase similar to it. He who has an ear, let him hear. Okay? Whoso reads, let him understand. Now, Jesus did not say, whoso reads, let him understand. Because Jesus was not writing. Matthew wrote this, and he put that there to give the warning. Now, the abomination of desolation occurred one time in the days of Antiochus Epiphanes, where he entered into the holy place and also offered swine's blood upon the altar. That was a type of the desolation. So it stands in the holy place. What does this tell us that is necessary at the end time? Let's focus in on the end time. What does this tell us that's necessary at the end time? What is the holy place? Where is the holy place? Where was Jesus giving the prophecy? Right there in Jerusalem. This ties in with Revelation 11 that there will be a temple rebuilt. There will be a temple rebuilt. And it will be destroyed the third time. Now, what could be the most abominable desolation to the temple of God? Just having Antiochus go in there, offering swine's blood? What would be, in a temple called the temple of God, what would be the most desecrating abomination that could take place? Go to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Okay. All right. Now, let's understand something about the Babylonian system. The king is always the representative of God. So many of the interpretations of this prophecy, and I've read many, many different interpretations of it, 2 Thessalonians 2nd chapter, where that some have said it's going to be the Pope who goes into the temple of God. Well, the Pope is the false prophet. The beast is the one who's going to be worshipped. Okay, we'll go to 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter. And this is what really makes desolate. And this was not revealed during the time of the Apostle Paul. So the generation that saw the destruction of Jerusalem and of Judah, that generation did not end until everything that was fulfilled for that destruction of Judah and Jerusalem took place. And that happened from 31 AD until 70 AD when it was destroyed. Now we're talking about a time at the end, and I don't think that we have really comprehended how fantastic that this is going to end up being. Okay, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 1. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that is the resurrection, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled. And isn't that what happens to brethren? Are they not troubled today? Are they not shaken in mind today? Yes. Neither by spirit, nor by word, which means a message, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of the Lord is at hand. So they were actually counterfeiting letters, counterfeiting epistles. Let no man deceive you by any means. And there it is again. If you want an interesting study sometime, go through the whole Testament and look up the words deceive, beguile, entice. And I think you will be surprised how many times we're warned against that. Deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that is the apostasy. And as I've mentioned before, there is the apostasy in the world, which is going to end up with a one-world religion. There is the apostasy within the churches of God, both taking place at the same time. So the apostasy comes. Then what has to be the next thing? And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Hold your place here and let's go to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Now, this did not happen during the days of the generation in which Jerusalem was destroyed and Judah was destroyed. Okay. Now, let's pick it up here, Revelation 13 and verse 3. Revelation 13 and verse 3. And I saw one of the heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. That's why at the end time, everything gets down to the whole world, all nations. Keep that in mind. And never have we had it like we have it today. All nations, worldwide things, global things, international this. What always happens before you have a great leader come on the scene, always historically true, a series of weak leaders, do we have those today? Yes. So disgustingly so that almost everyone is turned off with government, correct? Yes. You have insoluble problems, and then someone steps forward to be able to solve the problems, and he becomes the man. The Bible talks about the man, the son of perdition. And they worship the dragon. Now, let's understand something here that's very profound. You either worship God or Satan. There is some middle ground where that there are people who have crossbred some doctrines, and they are neither nor. Their time of decision is going to have to come under duress. They'll have to make the decision. But in the main, you either worship God or you worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast and who is able to make war with him? So this shows a position of absolute power in the world. Now, let's ask a couple of questions. I think that this one world government is coming from many different angles. It could come through the UN. It's possible. Now, also remember that on the Security Council of the United Nations, there are now 15 nations. 5 are permanent members, 10 are rotating members. What would happen if they added 2 more, say Germany and Japan, as permanent members? Then you have 7 permanent members and 10 other members. What is 7 and 10? Whose number is 7 and 10? The beast number, Satan's number, 7 heads and 10 horns. So we've got it so it could sit almost ready right now. That's one way. Okay? It could end up being in Europe too. That is another way. Now, just as a little aside as we're going along here, because someone will want to know, well, what's going to happen to America? America is going to join the one world system one of two ways. We will do it voluntarily, which I don't think we'll end up doing, or we will do it by conquest. We will be forced to. And I think America is going to be the enigma of the world because we won't rush to receive the mark of the beast. And that's going to be the defining line for those who are neither nor, but understand about the mark of the beast. They're going to have to make their decision when that time comes. Okay. But here is a great personage that is worshipped by the world. Now let's go back to 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter. And this is for our end time. 2 Thessalonians. You see, the Pope has to endorse it. What does every politician do when they go to Rome? They go by and see the Pope. Can you imagine how fantastically the Catholic Church would come back into power if they had a pope come on the scene and say, let's have women priests? Wow. Let's have the worship of Mary on a grand scale be something. So whoever is going to be the leader of the world has to be endorsed by the false prophet. That's the sum total of Revelation 13. Now let's come back to 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter. Now here's the son of perdition. He must be revealed. The way he's going to be revealed is that those who have the Spirit of God will understand. Those who do not have the Spirit of God will not understand. Verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped so that he is God, sits in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. We have never had anything like that. That is truly the abomination that makes desolate. So we can look for a temple being built in Jerusalem. We can look for the coming together of the nations in Greater Babylon, and it can come in more than one particular way. We could have it come through the United Nations. The United Nations could collapse, reform, go to Geneva, set up a new type of United Nations, have a whole new system over there. I remember one time when we were getting close to 1975 and we were looking for 10 nations in Europe. You got a problem. Now there are 12. Soon there will be 15. And I said at that time, what's going to happen when you have 20 or more nations over there in Europe? But if you read Revelation 17 carefully, the last 10 join to fight Christ for 1 hour. You're not going to see them before the beginning of the tribulation. That's the big mistake that everyone has made. Okay? That is the big mistake everyone has made. Okay, now let's continue on here. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Don't you remember that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is withholding, that he might be revealed in his time. There is a time when that will be revealed, not before. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. And that mystery of iniquity is Babylon the Great, all of Revelation 17 and Revelation 13. Only he who now restrains, it says letteth in the King James, but it means restrain, will restrain until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked one be revealed. He's going to be revealed. We won't have to guess who it is. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, so it has to be the second coming of Christ, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. What does that mean? Have you ever sat down and said, question, what does that mean? With all power and signs and lying wonders. How great could this thing be? Now, I will have to give you my opinion. So I'll ring my little bell, my opinion. That's a little joke we have. And the reason I do that is because I don't want anyone to think that this is doctrine. This is something to look for. Maybe there's something to it. I think there is going to come a great false religious revival of all religions of the world. And it's going to sweep this world. Tremendous power. Now, I think I've mentioned this a time or two before, but how many ever saw the movie where they discovered some ancient religious writing which would supersede the New Testament? And it was a great religious movement that was sweeping the whole world. There was a movie put out years ago where that archaeologists were digging and they discovered religious writings. And these religions, sounds a little bit like deja vu Mormonism, okay? And these religious writings were accepted by all religions and superseded the Bible. And the story was that they were having this great goodness coming over all the earth because of this great religious movement. But there was one problem. these documents were not something they found, but something which was written and was planted. And then one of the big movers and shakers in this new religious movement found out that this was all a fraud. And he wanted to expose the fraud. And the movie ended that they did away with him because what was happening was so good they couldn't afford the fraud to be exposed. And my wife has always said, you know, Satan telegraphs what he's going to do in the movies many times. So that's why I rang the bell and put a question mark. Could it happen that way? Do we have the scenario set up that it could be? What do we have in the way of religious writings that are being discovered, and where are they being discovered? The Dead Sea Scrolls. Other things like that. Okay? So I'm saying, when we read all power and signs and lying wonders, we're talking about an awesome event. Even his, verse 10 now, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. There is the key. If you have the spirit of truth, if you hunger and thirst after the truth, if you know the truth, if you study the truth, if you live by the truth, living by every word of God, then you will be able to understand when the deception comes. But if you are not doing that and you're sidling up to the deceptions, if you're allowing those things in your life, if those things are coming into your church, then woe be, you may have some problems coming. Isn't that true? Remember, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. That's how it starts. They didn't love the truth, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So it's going to, what is the lie? This man is God. What is the lie? We'll have peace in our time. What is the lie? Christ is not going to return from outer space. He's here on the earth. So then when Christ does return, what are they going to do? They're going to say, here comes Antichrist. This is going to get bizarre. So I think in the past, we have not fully understood how great and how mammoth these events are going to be. Because it says even the elect could be deceived. Now that's a powerful statement. And I think a lot of it, we read the scriptures or we have heard a sermon and we go to Sabbath services and we shake our head and say, yeah, that's right. Wasn't that a nice sermon? And if the minister asked you, well, what did I preach on? Well, I don't know, but it was a good sermon. The comment is made, could this also be within the church? There are some parallels within the church. That's true. Where people would put a minister above worshiping God. However, we're not talking about the son of perdition who is revealed, and it's coming out of the mystery of iniquity, not from within the church. So there can be some parallels. Many cases you can find parallels. You can find types, but this is coming out of the mystery of iniquity. Okay? With all deceivableness. Now, God sends them strong delusion because they don't want to believe the truth. Now let's come back to Matthew, the 24th chapter, because we've got a lot of ground to cover here. Let's come back there and we'll read on a little bit further, and then we will cover a couple of things in Mark 13 and Luke 21, and then we'll go to the book of Revelation. Okay, we talked about verse 14. Let's the last sentence there, then shall the end come. Now, what I want you to do is make a notation here that since we're talking about Daniel, we just discussed and went through the possible fulfillment of the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Let's understand something. Every one of the prophecies in the Old Testament, which are for the kingdom of God, end up with the coming of Christ. You take, let's just summarize the whole book of Daniel. Daniel 2 has the image, beginning with Babylon, the image of gold and silver and brass and iron and clay and the toes. It ends in the coming of the kingdom of God. Okay? Daniel 7 ends in the coming of the kingdom of God. Daniel 8 ends with the coming of the kingdom of God. Daniel 9 ends with the coming of the kingdom of God. Daniel 10 and 11 end up with the king of the south, the king of the north, and the time of the end. Daniel 12 is the time of the end. Okay? So the Bible is focusing on this whole end time. And it's going to be in its time. Now, we can't rush it. We can't delay it. It's going to be in its time. It's going to be on time. Events do not speed up and slow down. They're all on time. And we've been in the gun lap for the last, 40 years? Whatever. Okay? Yes. Okay. So let's just admit there's a whole lot that we need to expand our thinking on when these things come about. But there's going to come a point that it's going to get so desperate, which ties in a little bit with what we discussed last night concerning the place of safety. Let's pick it up here, Matthew 24 and verse 16. Let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. So if there's a place of safety, it's going to be close by for them, isn't it? Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. So that means that when you really understand when this thing comes, it's going to be zap. Just like that. Those who are in Judea, this does not apply to the rest of the world. Completely. This is in Judea. They flee. What we read last night was, for the world, they shall be, those who go to a place of protection shall be taken. These flee. That's right. Neither let him, verse 18, which is in the field, return back to take his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Very important. The winter, you're going to die. It's cold. Sabbath day, you're breaking the Sabbath to save your life. And what does the Bible say? He who seeks to save his life shall lose it. So you don't break the Sabbath. If there is any one profound scripture which shows that the Sabbath day is enforceable in today's world, it's right here. Then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world. Now, I'm sure that for those people when Jerusalem and Judah were being destroyed, and how many here have read the account in Josephus? Okay. If you want some interesting and gruesome reading, read the account of the destruction of Jerusalem in the book of Josephus. Very, very profound. They ended up with cannibalism. They ended up fighting and killing each other. It was atrocious. Josephus records the two destructions of Jerusalem, and both of them were hideous indeed. Okay? But this is going to be... Now, question. If there is great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world, no, nor shall ever be, how do you prepare for that? Physically, you can't do it. Spiritually, that's correct. That's the answer. That's the only thing you can do. Remember, as we discussed last night, half of the population of the world is going to be destroyed before the wrath of God. And we have to understand, you cannot take this Babylonian system and reform it. Because the Babylonian system will reform you. Here's this magazine that is called The Plain Truth, which no longer has a truth, nor is it plain. Has Babylon reformed them? Yes. That's why. Now, I believe that there has been a conspiracy to take over this world. So if people ask you if you believe in a conspiracy or ask me, I say yes. But I no longer believe it is a conspiracy. I believe it is pretty much a fact. And when it's a fact, it's no longer a conspiracy. Okay. But what we are dealing with is that all of these movements for a one world government are going to come down and come to this point. Now, right at this point, when the tribulation begins, one,